the Lord is touching it, He's blessing it. We're trying to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, there's no way that we can preach everything in the Bible. I mean, all down through the years, how many preachers has God called, and they've preached how many sermons? And we've only just scratched the surface of the Word of God. We know this is the eternal, infallible, inerrant Word of the living God, friends. I'm glad we have the Bible in our midst. It's God's Word. And don't ever take that for granted, that you have a copy of the very Word of the living God speaking to us. And we want to open it and be faithful to it tonight. Genesis chapter 17, we'll just read one verse of Scripture, verse number 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Again, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase, God talked with him. God talked with him. I like that phrase. We're going to preach to you on that subject tonight. Father, help us, I pray. Help our hearts and our minds to be drawn heavenward. May you help us, Lord, to get all distractions out of our hearts and out of our minds. Help us to focus completely upon you and your Word. Challenge us from your pages of your Scripture tonight. And Lord, I pray that you help us to have undivided attention. Speak to us in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the previous chapter of this glorious book, chapter 16, brought out how Sarah and Abram had gotten ahead of God's promise. And if you remember the story, they took matters into their own hands by having Abram marry Hagar and have a son by her. Now, with this particular sin, we saw Sarah blamed others for it. Abram was indifferent, didn't want to do anything to deal with it, and Hagar tried to run away from it. Now, the angel of the Lord found Hagar. This is all chapter 16. I've already preached on it. You can go back and get it if you want to get it. We see that the Lord found Hagar and told her to go back to Abram and Sarah and to submit herself in her rightful place. That chapter ended with Ishmael being born when Abram was 86 years old. Now, this chapter begins and opens up in verse number 1 with Abraham is now 99 years old. 13 years have elapsed since the closing verse of chapter 16 and the opening verse of chapter 17. Now, this chapter is another one of the highlights here of God's grace and mercy. Let me explain it. Because in those 13 years, there's no record that God ever appeared to Abram and ever spoke to him in those 13 years. By the way, sin always has consequences. Today we have the blessed Word of God for us, that God speaks to us primarily through the pages of His Word. However, it's important to understand that Abram didn't have the Word of God. You see, God spoke primarily in Abram's day through visions and personal appearances to those that he spoke with. And it had been at least 13 years that we know of since the last recorded appearance of God to Abram. And even though Abram had sinned before the Lord, and time had elapsed and years had gone by since his last appearance to Abram, we notice in this chapter 17 that God is a God of great grace, and God is a God of great mercy. Because notice in verse number 3 how the Bible says God talked with him. May I say this, and I've got it here with an exclamation point, glory day for Abram. What I mean by that, God would have been righteous if he had never spoken to Abram again. But God in his grace decided to come appear to him again and to speak with him one-on-one. God is now speaking to Abraham again. And it's such a tremendous blessing, get this now, it's such a tremendous blessing to have the God of the universe talking to us, speaking to us. I don't know what I would do if it went years before the Lord would speak to my heart again. Let me encourage you right here not to let a day go by without spending time in the Word of God and allowing the God of the universe to speak to your heart. May I encourage you, and I know many of you are already doing this, but if you're not, I encourage you to start it. If you are, I encourage you to keep it up. Refuse to let a day come and go that you don't spend some time in the pages of God's Word. Read God's Word every day of your life. The Lord is talking with Abram in this chapter. And it's his talking that I want to focus on for our message this evening. There are three major thoughts that I see taking place during this talking in this chapter that's still true about God speaking to us today. In other words, God talked with him, number one. God talked with him, number two. God talked with him, number three. I'm trying to be simple, and I like being simple. Number one, God talked with him, revealing God's identity. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number one. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now, the Lord is speaking to Abram in this verse, in which he is getting ready to share, I'm talking about in this chapter, he's getting ready to share his promise again about the promised seed through a man by the name of Isaac. Now, Abram is 99 years old. Sarah is 89 years old. They are obviously beyond natural childbirth ability. However, notice how God talked to him and revealed to him his identity. He said, Abram, I want you to understand who it is that's talking to you. I am the Almighty God. Now, I want to take this and I want to show you what he's saying here. This name, Almighty God, is the designated name El Shaddai. Now, you say, what in the world's that mean? Let me break it down for you. Tremendous truth here. God comes to Abram after he's already jumped the gun, so to speak, in chapter 16, trying to help God out a little bit, trying to figure it out on his own. 13 years come and go. I'm talking about all hope has vanished, if you will. Now he's 99 years old, and he comes and says, here is who I am. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. Let's see what that means. I'm getting excited just thinking about the name tonight. This word El, you know what it means? This word El here means he's the strong one. And then the word Shaddai comes from the Hebrew word Shad, which refers, it refers to the breast, referring to a mother who gives her little child nourishment, strength, and satisfies his hunger. Now stay with me here. Putting this all together, we see the Lord revealing his identity as the strong one who is the nourisher, the strengthener, and the satisfier, who is the all-sufficient one. And what God was revealing to Abram here, before he made the promise, Sarah's going to give birth, which was absolutely an impossibility with man. We see that God was saying, I want to identify myself, that I am the one that there's nothing too hard for me to do. This is what he's saying. And may I say to you that because our God is almighty, that's why he's able to save us to the uttermost in Hebrews 7:25. That's why he's able to help us who are tempted in Hebrews 2:18. That's why there's nothing that can separate us from his love in Romans chapter 8. That's why he's going to change our vile bodies to be fashioned like his own in Philippians chapter 3. That's why he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think in Ephesians chapter 3. That's why he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy in Jude verse 24. I'm telling you, praise our God's name. His identity is he is El Shaddai. He is the strong one. He's the nourisher. He's the strengthener. He's the satisfier. He's the one who's all sufficient. He needs no help, and there's nothing too hard for our God to do. He's identifying who himself is here. And I'm telling you, that's one of the works of the Word of God. It identifies who our God really is. God talked with Abram, revealing his identity. And his word does the same today. As we spend time allowing God to speak to our hearts through the pages of his precious word, he graciously reveals himself to our heart to show us that he is all we need. God had earlier revealed himself in this same book to Abram as a shield, if you remember. Because this was probably referring to the fear that Abram potentially had whenever he went and he took care of those kings that took Lot captive, remember? And after that, maybe Lot was fearing retaliation from those kings when God appeared to him. God spoke to him and said, "I am thy shield." He's saying, "I'm the one that's going to protect you." And later on, he revealed himself to Abram as his exceeding great reward. Because remember, whenever the king of Sodom said, just give me the people, take everything else for yourself. Remember that those kings had taken everything that was in the city. And so what that king was offering Abram was everything the city had to offer. But Abram said, "I'm not even going to take a shoe latchet." And after that, God came to him and said, "I am thy exceeding great reward." I'm telling you that God is always on time. He always speaks with what you need. I'm telling you that maybe Abram was fearing retaliation, so God came to him in his word and spoke to him and said, "I am thy shield." I'm telling you that he turned down a great human reward. So God came to him again and spoke to him and said, "I am thy exceeding great reward." Now God appears to him. He has a major promise to give to him. He's going to tell him that his promised seed is not Ishmael, but his promised seed is yet to be born, even though he's 99 and his wife is 89. Isn't it interesting that he starts the chapter off by saying, "I am Almighty God"? He's trying to let Abram see something, that there's nothing too hard for him to do. I'm glad that there's been so many times, even preaching through books of the Bible and even reading through personal devotions, that exactly what I need, God gives it to me that day. And this is how the Word of God works. God's speaking is always right on time. Every book of the Bible, along with every story of the Bible, tells us more and more about who our great God is. Let us be faithful in spending time on a daily basis, learning more about his self-revelation found in the pages of his word. John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." That's what he said. You know what this blessed book is? It's God's revelation of himself. He is revealing on every page something about himself. He's revealing in every book something about himself. He's revealing in every story something about himself. And the first thing we notice about God talked with him, we see that God talked with him revealing God's identity. He was showing Abram, "I'm all you need. I'm the one that's going to get this done. And there's nothing too hard for me to do." That's what he was doing, number one. Number two, we see God talked with him, not only revealing his identity, but we see him, God talked with him, reaffirming God's promises. Now look at verse number two and following. "And I will make my covenant which went between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." Side note, We better stick behind Israel, friends. Amen. I don't care if the world turns against them or not. By the way, God said it would happen anyway. But as long as we stick behind Israel, we'll be just fine. Mark it down. God said, I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. We better keep blessing the seed of Abraham. Amen. Look at verse number 15. Abram could be sitting there saying, what in the world are you talking about? He's got to be talking about Ishmael. But then he makes it clear in verse number 15. Notice it. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah with an I, but Sarah with an H. Shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Now the main point I'm trying to get you to see here in these verses, verses 2 to 8 and verses 15 to 22, is we see God is talking, remember, with Abraham. And what he's doing here, he's just revealed his own identity, that he's Almighty God. There's nothing too hard for him. Then he starts reaffirming his promises. He's starting to show Abraham the promise that I made you back in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 15. It's still true, Abraham. This is what he's saying. We notice that he's reaffirming his promises. And I remind you right here that a delayed promise is not a denied promise. God doesn't work on our timetable. And if God promises something, it will happen on his timetable. But the fact is, if he promises it, it will happen. It's just a matter of us showing faith and believing it. It's interesting also that as Abraham realized that God was speaking to him in verse number 3, the Bible says he fell on his face. And as he fell on his face, God began to reveal more to him. There's a great truth right there. One man put it this way, this falling down is the lowliest or the humblest form of reverence in which the worshiper leans on his knees and elbows and his forehead approaches the ground. Another man put it this way, you will have little revelation without reverence. When Abram realized that God was speaking to him, he wasn't jumping up and down. He wasn't waving a handkerchief. Nothing wrong with those things in the right place. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But he fell on his face in reverence to God. And the Lord began to tell him that he was going to make a covenant between he and Abram, and that he would multiply him exceedingly. The word covenant is used 13 times in this chapter. You think God's trying to tell us something? 13 times in chapter 17, he talks about the covenant, signifying the importance of this particular covenant. And God said it was his covenant. And notice in this covenant that over and over again in verse number 2, verse 6, 7, and 8, verse 16, verses 19, 20, and 21, he uses the terms, I will. God said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, over and over again in this. In this covenant, the Lord emphasizes the promised seed, that of Isaac, and the promised soil. And to emphasize how this covenant was as good as done, the Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham. What's the significance of that? The name Abram means high father. But the name Abraham means a father of a multitude. You know what God was doing here? Now, all he had was one boy. Somebody comes up to him and says, what's your name? God just changed it to Abraham. Father of a multitude? How many kids you got? Got one boy. What was God doing? You know what God was doing? God was telling him, my promise is as good as done, Abraham. I'm changing your name to prove it. And then he shared how Sarah's name would be changed from an I to an H, and that means that she would be a princess. A princess. That's interesting because she was going to give birth to a son and she was going to be the mother of kings. Beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. This was the promise of a seed through Sarah, whom they would call Isaac, who would be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. God talking with Abraham, he was just simply confirming his promises that he had already been given before. To this reaffirmation, in other words, when God said, Abraham, you're going to have a child, a boy from Sarah. The Bible says that Abraham did something interesting. You know what he did? He fell down and he laughed. Now, what does that mean? Now, while there's some debate as to what this means, it seems that this was a holy laughter. It seems that this was a laughter of faith. For instance, have you ever had God work in your life so much that you just catch yourself just kind of giggling? Just kind of laughing about it? And somebody says, wait a minute, you're a chauvinist. Because we know that Sarah laughed and you're going to preach that it was unbelief. And it was, amen. But now you're saying that he laughed and it's not unbelief. Prove it. Thank you for asking me. Romans chapter 4, I want you to turn to it. Look at it, please. Look at Romans chapter 4. Let me show you why we teach here that this laughter did not seem to be out of unbelief. But it seemed to be a holy laughter, a laughter of like, I can't believe that he's, really? A laughter of excitement, a laughter of something that he just couldn't believe that this was getting ready to take place. Romans chapter 4, Scripture interpreting Scripture seems to fit what this is saying. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now talking about Abram, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, that verse right there says when he was 100 years old, whenever God was speaking to him, he wasn't weak in faith. Now, he had been weak before. But these verses say he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't count his body dead. He didn't count the womb of his wife dead. But he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform in verse 21. This seems to be Abram falling on his face, just laughing out of a, you've got to be kidding me, excitement. Now, the fact is this. As we think about this, we know that when Sarah laughed, and we'll get to that later because it's later on, we know that when Sarah laughed that God censored her. He questioned her. He rebuked her. He didn't rebuke Abraham. Why didn't he? Makes sense? I'm not going to split hairs. I'm not going to say, listen, I'll die over this teaching. I'm not going to do that. But I believe that the Bible lends itself that this is a holy laughter of faith. And through this, God is revealing himself that his covenant would not be with Ishmael, but his covenant would be with Isaac. As a side note, that same chapter right there, this is interesting in the book of Romans, chapter number 4, it's interesting that the context brings out here in verse number 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In other words, the Apostle Paul is relating this story of Abraham and Sarah having a baby when he's 100 and she's 90. He's relating this to our justification. And it's interesting that the Bible says that Sarah's womb was dead. But out of death would come life. The promised seed would come out of death. And interesting that when Jesus died, that's how everlasting life was made possible. I'm telling you, God knows what He's doing. And in this, we see that the Lord, through talking with Abram, He not only revealed His own identity, that He is all Abram needs and there's nothing too hard for Him. He reaffirmed His own promises that, Abram, what I told you in chapter 12 and chapter 13, chapter 15, you got ahead of me in chapter 16, but it didn't change my promise. My promise is still true. And I'm telling you that this is what God's Word does as we go through it day by day. It never contradicts itself. And it constantly reminds us of the promises of God. That no matter how hard the situation becomes, no matter how hard the circumstance comes, God's promises are still true. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter how hard it may be. If God promised it, you can take it to the bank, friends, because who said it? You know, let me tell you who said it? The Almighty God said it. That's who said it. And there's nothing too hard for Him. Number one, God talked with him, revealing His own identity, reaffirming His promises, and number three, finally, requiring Abraham's obedience. God talked with him, requiring Abraham's obedience. Look at verse number one, the latter part in our text, Genesis chapter 17. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And then in verse 9 and following, it says this, And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. The third major thing we see about God talking with Abraham is how the Lord gave Abraham commands to obey. He gave him orders to obey. In this we see the Lord's authority over Abraham. And along with this, a man put it this way, divine illumination brings human obligation. Divine illumination brings human obligation. Now let's look at these things and let's see how Abraham responded. First of all, God told him to walk before him and be perfect. Now it's interesting to note how walking before somebody means you're walking in their sight. If you're walking with them, it means you could be side by side. If you're walking behind them, that means that you may be watching them. But if you're walking before them, that means they're watching you. Now think about this. He's saying, walk before me. This is a walk that was a continual awareness that God was there and God was watching. It is a walk and a life lived where you're conscious of God. In other words, you realize that as you walk, that somebody bigger than you is watching you. And as you walk, you realize that somebody bigger than you is there with you. He's saying, walk before me. Understand that you cannot get away from me, Abraham. And he said, be thou perfect. You know what that means? Sometimes we try to water this down. Well, all that means is sincere. You're right, it does mean sincere, but that's not where the word stops. You know what that word means? It means without blemish, without spot, undefiled, upright, and to be truthful. Let me ask you a question. Can we in our flesh live a perfect life, yes or no? It's not a trick question. No. But there's nothing wrong with trying to be. Amen. It's time we take our personal standards and put them as high as we possibly can. After all, does God not deserve our best? Sure He does. A man put it this way, you will seldom, if ever, achieve above your own goal. See, if you lower your goal, you lower God's expectations. Somebody says, I can't be perfect, why try? Why not? Why not try? You're not going to be perfect. We fall short every day. The book of 1 James tells us that. And every time we fall short, we ask God to forgive us and help us. That's not for salvation. That's for cleansing. That's for daily fellowship. But let me tell you something. God is pleased when His child says, God, I want to be just like You. Just like You. See, He's perfect. And He says, Abraham, walk before Me. Realize I'm there. Be thou perfect. Be just like Me. Then He goes into this circumcision. I'm not going to stay long here, but we see that the Lord required Abraham's obedience to circumcise all of the male children. Now circumcision, now get this friends, was for a sign, not for salvation. See, Abraham had already been declared righteous before circumcision. And to prove that circumcision had nothing to do with salvation, which some people try to teach it did, with the Jewish people, Romans chapter 4, verses 9 to 13 clearly teach differently. This was not him saying this is part of salvation. Get this. Circumcision was not to be done in order to become a member of the covenant, but it was to be done because they already were a member of the covenant. It was to be a mark of separation for the Jewish people to identify themselves as God's chosen people who were members of this eternal covenant. God told Abraham to take all the males from 8 days old and above. Now, as a side note, it's interesting that the eighth day has been brought out by medical science. Now, get this. There's a doctor back in the 1940s that did a medical study saying the eighth day is the best day medically to circumcise a child. Because on the eighth day of the newborn, the blood clotting and infection fighting agents in the blood are at their combined best. And then that doctor went on to say this, and I quote, we should commend the many hundreds of workers who labored at great expense over a number of years to discover that the safest day to perform circumcision is the eighth. Yet as we congratulate medical science for this recent finding in the 1940s, we can almost hear the leaves of the Bible rustling. Because God told him in Genesis chapter 17, God knows what He's doing, friends. Science doesn't contradict the Bible. True science confirms the Bible. Amen. Remember when, I guess you don't remember because it's so long ago, we found out that the earth is a circle. And yet the Old Testament calls it the circle of the earth. God created it, don't you think He knows what it looks like, friends? Sure He does. As soon as God left off talking with Abraham, God said, walk before Me and be thou just like Me. Take all the male children, 8 days and above, and have them circumcised. That's kind of odd. I'm not trying to be crude or anything like that, but that was going to be a painful command for Abraham and grown men to obey. That was going to be painful. I'm not trying to be crude there. You understand. But what did Abraham do? And we close with this. At least this is how we're closing here, coming to a close. Notice what happened in verse number... what verse is it? Verse number 22. And he left off talking with him. That's God, left off talking with him. And God went up from Abraham. God has come. He's talked to Abraham again all the way through this chapter. He has revealed his identity that he's the Almighty God. He's getting ready to say, your wife at 90 years of age is going to give birth. And I'm the Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. There's nothing too hard for Me. He begins to reaffirm His promises and all these other kind of things, saying the promise I gave you in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 16, I think it was, if my memory serves me correctly. He's saying that promise is still true. And My word does not contradict itself. It just confirms itself. Then he said, oh, by the way, before I leave you, take every one of the male children 8 days and above and circumcise them. Notice what Abram did. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son. Ishmael was 13 at this time. And all that were born in his house, And all that were bought with his money, every male among them, the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day. The same day he did this, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the self same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. What a way to end this chapter, that as soon as God left off talking with Abraham, Abraham obeyed God immediately and completely. Even though this particular command would be painful to obey, Abraham showed no hesitation. He set a wonderful example here for us who are God's children, that when God gives us a command, even if it's going to hurt to keep it, we're going to keep it anyway. Let us learn the lesson and put it into practice. Psalm 119, verse 60 said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. May we not delay to keep the commandments of Almighty God. In this chapter, we saw Abraham has not heard from God in around 13 years. However, God is full of mercy and grace. He appeared to Abraham and spoke with him. What a glorious day. In God's talking, he revealed his identity, that he was all that Abraham needed. He reaffirmed his promises and required Abraham's obedience. The Lord was showing Abraham that nothing is impossible with him. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And as we come to a close tonight, let us not take for granted this service, that in my hand I hold a copy of the blessed Word of God. What a privilege to have the very words of the living God in our midst in this service. And as we read through the pages of His Word, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to our hearts, showing us who God is, confirming all of God's promises, and giving us commands to obey, to have His blessing. Praise God for lowering Himself to talk with somebody like me. And may it be said that in Genesis chapter 17, verse 3, and God talked with him. Let us take out the word him, and may we be able to put our name there. And may it honestly be said, and God talked with Jody. And God talked with Matthew. And God talked with Whitney. And God talked with Becky. And God talked with Judson. And God talked with Johnny. And God talked with Micah. And God talked with Scotty. And God talked. What an exalted privilege. And when He speaks, may we report for duty and say, even if it hurts God, I will obey. That's chapter 17. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness. Help us to understand these things. Help us to live by these things. And may Your will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I never want to take for granted and look over somebody's soul. So I ask you the first question, do you really know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you repented of your sin and received the Lord? If you haven't, why don't you let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you because maybe it's been a long time since you felt the sweet Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Oh, you may even be reading the Bible, but it's dead to you. And you just want to sense God speaking to you again. Why don't you come in just a moment get on your face and beg God to speak to you again. Oh, how it'd be terrible to go day after day and never hear from God. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you're not spending time in His Word. Maybe He's challenging you that you're not giving Him an opportunity to speak to you because you're not even reading His Word every day. Or maybe God's dealing with you because there's something in your life that you feel is impossible. And maybe God has spoken to your heart tonight and say, remember who I am. I'm Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. It may look impossible to you, but there's nothing impossible with me. Or maybe God tonight is wanting you to claim a promise that He's already given in His Word, but it's hard to believe it right now. Seems like it's not going to come, but God is speaking and saying, just trust me, just believe me. My promise is still true. I'm good to my word. I'm faithful to my word. Or maybe tonight somebody's dealing with a life of obedience. God's told you to do something and you're not doing it. I don't know what God's saying to you. There's a number of things you can apply to in this message. But whatever God's speaking to you about, why don't you respond? Ask God to help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought, use in a great way. Thank you that you desire to talk with us just like you talked with Abraham. Help us, Lord, to give you an opportunity to do that every day and be ready to say yes to whatever you tell us to do. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you have something you need God's help with, if you need to claim a promise, you need to ask God to help you obey, you want to ask God to speak to you again, whatever it is, as Brother Gary sings, why don't you leave your place and come? Would you do it? Come now. Would you do it? Come talk to God.
Lord, have thine own
talk
way.
To the Lord. What a great honor, a great privilege for God to be speaking to you, to talk to you.
Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and
alright, if you're standing, you look this way. A couple of things here. This is Rick and Nancy Hall, precious people. They feel the Lord is leading them back to Buffalo Ridge. And they want to join our church tonight by letter from a church of like faith. And we're thrilled to have them here. Amen. I like it. And I encourage them to help us reach people, which I'm trusting that they'll do that. God bless them. They've got other family here, so praise the Lord for it. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept their letter in membership? Brother Cash, Brother Archer, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. I like that. I'm going to ask them to stay right here. I hope many of you will come up and shake their hand and all these kind of let them know we're glad to have them here. And just be an encouragement to them. God bless you, folks. We love you. We appreciate you making this move. I've been asked to announce that the Truth Bible Clubs will be starting back this week. If you have children at Ridgeview, that Bible Club is Thursday at 8 in the library. If you have children at Gray, that club is Friday at 8 in the library. If you have children at Boone, that program is Friday during all four lunches in the Little Theater. And if you happen to have a child at Indian Trail, that program is Tuesday at 7:20 in the morning in the auditorium. God's opened this door. Let's pray it stays open and ask God to build these programs. I appreciate Brother Bob leading this, and that'll be good. That starts this week. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Ask God to bless. Be back in your place on Wednesday night. Okay, I'm going to ask Brother Bob Bryant, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us tonight, please. All children, those banks are available out on the Welcome Center. Hope to see you on Wednesday night. Many of you come up here and shake this precious couple's hands, okay?